Okay, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
2025. Lara Acione, this is our annual Gab Fest on the latest and greatest of eSchool news, what we saw last year, and what we're kind of looking forward to the future. Happy holidays, Lara.
Thank you. Happy holidays, Kevin. Yeah, I look forward to this chat. I love talking about this.
Yeah, it's fun. It's fun. And to kind of look back and see, you know, all the various different topics and aspects of our world. You know, we covered a lot of stuff at eSchool between events, between the COSINs and the ISTEs and the FETCs, as well as just all the, you know, stuff that our contributors are bringing in and some of the conversations we're having. There's a lot to unpack, right?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Well, let's dive right in. I don't think we could go more than 3 minutes in 2024 without mentioning the acronym of the decade. No, not COVID, but AI, right?
Yeah, who knew that something would eclipse the number of headlines we had about COVID and COVID gaps, but AI has done it. And I think that's really evident in our predictions stories. And we've solicited predictions and trends for 2025 from educators, from industry leaders, from policymakers. And I was expecting a number of AI predictions, and I was not disappointed. I think the interesting thing in 2025 is, you know, for the past couple of years, we've had AI as kind of this novel thing, right? And a lot of people have been worried about, will students use it to cheat? Will it impact their writing ability? Will they really learn and will they absorb what I'm teaching them? And I think the number of people who are worried about that is going to decrease. It already is decreasing. And I think in 2025, we're going to see an emphasis on, I think, two things. One is really what AI can do for the classroom beyond just alleviating administrative tasks or being a quick reference tool for students. I think we're going to see it get into a deeper part of learning. And then the second thing is that I think we're really going to focus on ensuring that students are building AI skills so that when they leave high school, whether they're entering the workforce, entering a certification program, or going on to a two-year or four-year program, they have the beginning of these AI skills, because we're hearing so much that having the ability to use AI, to know how to prompt it, to learn more about it as it evolves, those skills are really going to be critical for competitiveness, not just in the U.S., but really globally.
100%. And, you know, it's really kind of interesting when you think of it as a topic. And, you know, some mornings I wake up, I was like, are we going to talk about this again? But it really is something that is kind of, you know, it's affecting all aspects, not only of education, but society. But when you look at education itself, there's so many different flavors of it, right? There's, you mentioned the classroom and the idea of cheating and students definitely at the forefront of it. Like, you know, that's the one that is kind of maybe the most sexy or the most like dangerous that people talk about. But there's so many other different ways in which it's infiltrating just the way we teach and learn. And as you said, administrative, there are as many tasks being automated that way in the back office as they are kind of in the classroom. And I think our coverage kind of reflected that, right? I mean, we, at first, maybe 2023, there was a bit of a fear cycle, right? Every teacher was going to lose their job to AI. Every student was going to cheat. And then there was a hype cycle. And you saw it reflected in a lot of the ed tech shows where everyone suddenly became an AI company, right? Because they're implementing it into their technology. And I think you're right. I mean, we are approaching the kind of the reality cycle where, as transformative and disruptive as it is, it might start to become a little bit boring, especially to the students, because unlike us oldies, I mean, this is something that they've been used to and a tool that they've had, right? But again, teaching etiquette, teaching literacy on the right ways and wrong ways to use it, that's just like the same as you're teaching them how to use the internet.
Absolutely. And I think that is one of the critical pieces of this. And that kind of illustrates, again, where human teachers are so necessary. Human teachers are not going away. But yeah, and I think, and I shared this story in an internal conversation we had. My daughter was working on a biology project, and she knew kind of what she wanted to do for one section of this project, but she needed a little inspiration. And, you know, without sharing too much of her personal detail, she does have ADHD, and you know, so if something stumps her, she might just kind of chuck it to the side and maybe not complete that portion. But she went right to an AI tool. She already had the genesis of what she wanted, but the AI tool really helped her expand on what she wanted and helped her organize her thoughts. And she mentioned it in a very offhand way, and it was such a natural way, I think, and a great illustration of how kids are using it. It's not this big robot in the sky that, you know, I think those of us who grew up with, you know, crazy sci-fi films and stuff might initially think of it. It was another resource for her. Yeah. And I think again, teaching kids, okay, this is a great resource. When do you use it? When do you not use it? How is it acceptable to use? What do we cite, and how much credit do we give? You know, and there we've run a lot of contributed pieces from educators and industry experts who are getting at just that. Hey, instead of telling your kids they can't use AI, let's create an AI rubric. Let's look at when it may be appropriate to use. When is it okay? When is it not okay? As long as your original voice is coming through, this is great. If you're using it to write an essay and turn it in, not so great. So I think it's really interesting. I think it's pretty fascinating to see how we've gone from, you know, like you said, the 2023 period to where we are now.
Yeah. So the general consensus is that we welcome our new AI overlords. But know that we can still have some control over it, right? I mean, we're gonna keep writing about this in 2025.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, yeah. So what else? I mean, what else? When you look back over your editorial calendar of the hundreds of stories that we've posted up to eSchool News that you see worthy of kind of doing a once over?
I think another area, and this again is another topic that really came through as I'm gathering our predictions for 2025. Is not just a focus on student well-being for improved student mental health, but kind of linking better student well-being to positive student outcomes, to improved outcomes and student success and achievement. That is one area that I think is really growing. And I think we've always known, you know, a child who is hungry or stressed or has anxiety at home cannot sit in a classroom and learn as well as a child who does not struggle with those challenges. But I think there's a lot more attention being paid to this area now. And I don't want to leave out teacher well-being either, because I think teacher well-being and teacher burnout, those are another couple areas in the school mental health umbrella that we don't want to neglect. I do think we're seeing more attention paid to student well-being and how that translates to improving a student's academic achievement, which I think is important.
Absolutely. I think it's kind of a byproduct of the pandemic, really, that mental health was always something that was a nice to have, maybe, especially in maybe wealthier districts who would had the budgets to maybe have extra counselors or things on the side. But it wasn't front and center until March of 2020, right? Where everyone experienced this group trauma and this realization that before you begin any sort of instruction, whether it's in person or in a remote setup, you ask people how they're feeling. And for the students, and as you say, it's just as important for the faculty. It's just like, do you feel safe? Do you feel like, okay, are you ready to learn? And one of the ironies, I think, that when we went through this great beta test of remote learning and using Zoom and using, you know, other tools where we were apart, there were some innovations that came about that are helpful in that space of mental health, specifically one-on-one meetings with teachers, instead of having that back-to-school night with 70 parents for the 35 students in the classroom, maybe you just set up a Zoom. Maybe and you had a one-to-one that way. A lot of the special education dynamics of IEP meetings, other things that were, you know, weren't allowed even to be. They had to be in person, and because of the pandemic, they did not had to be remote. They say, you know what, this actually works a little bit better. Sometimes the dynamics are a little bit better than being in person with a principal or a guidance counselor. People open up a little bit more. So I agree with you that that is something that thankfully seems to not have gone back to normal, right? I mean, it's kind of stuck.
Yep, I agree. I agree. And I think all, like you said, all for the better.
Yeah, yeah. I know one thing I have here on my my list is, and something that never went away even enduring it, is the idea of cybersecurity and network security. That continues to be a big headache and a big challenge for most of the districts across the U.S. Any takes on that?
Yeah, I think, and again, this is another standout from our trends. I think that as we have more, you know, and people have been saying this for a while, as we have more devices connecting to school networks, as we have more student data that we're trying to keep safe and secure, bringing in more ed tech tools, and also as the bad actors become more sophisticated, I think the need for really strong cybersecurity practices and evolving cybersecurity practices becomes really, really imperative. And it's interesting. And I think part of this, you know, going back to COVID, all of a sudden we had one-to-one, you know, remote access. I know that poses a threat to school networks. And then even as things kind of normalized and kids are back in classrooms, you still have personal computing devices and sometimes multiple devices accessing, or multiple devices per user accessing school networks. And I think sometimes it's hard to stay on top of it. I know in my children's school district, we were told very specifically, no personal devices will be allowed into school this year.
Hmm.
That has not been the case. So you have personal home laptops connecting to the school network, and then they're at home downloading whatever they're downloading. I think it is hard to stay on top of things like this, particularly in large districts, even though you tend to have larger IT teams for larger districts. But I think, you know, also there is a lot of talk of, you know, as hackers become more sophisticated and as personal data becomes more valuable to people who want to take advantage of it, right?
Yeah.
It's going to be kind of this round-the-clock vigilance that will be needed to really keep networks safe and secure. And that's not even going into, you know, the kids who might be trying to hack into their district networks just to see if they can. Which can open up, you know, a lot more headaches than those kids realize.
Absolutely. And that kind of leads into my predictions for 2025. And what we're going to be writing and talking about is just that, the use of devices, limiting screen time, limiting device management within district. It seems it started in June this year when I was at a press conference with superintendent from Los Angeles talking about how that they were going to be, you know, starting what you're saying that your kids' districts are doing, which is limiting those uses. That's going to be a big deal this year. That's my number one projection going forward. But to wrap things up, what are you looking for? I guess we can try to keep a glass half full of what's happening in 2025.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of uncertainty. I do think that talks of perhaps dismantling the Department of Education, while that has been brought up, I know we have talked before about how that is a pretty heavy lift and there's a lot that goes into it. So while that is something that has been mentioned, I don't know that that's something that is necessarily going to occur, at least not in 2025. I think uncertainty is probably the word of the day around that. I know we're not sure about funding. It is likely, I think, from what I've read and heard, that the Department of Education is not going to receive as much funding, or maybe it will, you know, education is not going to get the big bucks. And so when that happens, we'll see, right? Because we're already dealing with the, you know, the ESSER funding expiring, and a lot of districts are realizing, oh, now we've got to cut back on staff, or now we suddenly don't have the funds to maintain all of these programs and hardware and everything that we brought in. So I think it's definitely it's going to be a tricky time funding wise, but I think we can all agree that we're very hopeful that it won't be as bad as some people worry it might be.
From your lips to God's ears. Well, as always, great having a conversation with you, Laura. Always fun working with you. I think we really hit all the high points and the low points over 2024, looking back. And look forward to seeing what we can cover and seeing the advancements and the progress of our industry and our schools in 2025. So as always, thank you. And once again, Happy New Year.
Absolutely. Thanks, Kevin.
And that's all we have for this month's episode of Innovations in Education. Be sure to go up to eschoolnews.com and add your name to the subscription list if you want to get this podcast every month, if you're not already doing so. Be sure to go into our webinars where we have other conversations talking about some of the top and most important issues that you need to learn for the way that you operate your school districts. So thanks again for listening and have a great day.